Good day, friends. A man said to me one time, "Would you like to know how to overcome death with life?" And of course I thought I knew the answer, but I was interested in finding out what this individual had to say. And so he related to me a very interesting story that's found tucked away in the 11th chapter of John. I think most of us are acquainted with the fact that Lazarus, the very close friend of Jesus, did pass away as recorded in that 11th chapter of John. And how that Jesus came after Lazarus had been buried and was met by Martha the sister as well as Mary the other sister. And how Jesus entered into a conversation with Martha that gives us some of the greatest pictures that we have any place in God's Word of how to overcome death with life. Paul, in writing to the Roman brethren, emphasized a very important point in the salutation of that epistle. And I'm wondering if this didn't help the Romans as they faced the challenge of each day with the opposition opposing Christ on all quarters, and yet we find their faith was strong in the Lord because they realized that they had a story of life that was stronger than death. It's an interesting factor when Paul wrote that Roman epistle that he wanted them to know that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God first because of his finished physical lineage of the tribe of Judah or through the lineage of David. He also points out to us in the introduction to that wonderful epistle in verse 4 of chapter 1 that he was declared to be the Son of God with power by his resurrection from the dead. You see, the interesting aspect here is that Jesus is telling us through the writing of the Apostle Paul under the influence of the Holy Spirit that Christ was able to raise from the dead and will die no more. That's the one that we talk to you about on this broadcast time and time again. We're talking about the one who not alone has the words of everlasting life, where we're talking about the one who has everlasting life as a reality. You see, it's as simple as this, even though we seek not to reduce it to a common denominator as though it would be looked upon as being unclean or as being common in that sense. But it can be reduced to the fact that when we obey the gospel by hearing the word, believing it, repenting of our sins, confessing our faith in Christ that we believe he is the Son of God, and being immersed in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, which is baptism, that our sins are forgiven and we put on Jesus Christ. We've told you this a number of times on past broadcasts. But when we put him on spiritually, and we become a part of his spiritual body. And it's that very thing that we're talking about on the broadcast today, realizing that Jesus Christ raised from the dead to die no more. This must be looked upon as a spiritual picture of what Jesus truly is. But back to the wonderful conversation that the man mentioned to me as we were talking about the wonderful words of life. Let's pick up the thread of thought as Jesus comes to the house in Bethany of Mary and Martha. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. And then following down through the chapter in verse 21 of the famous 11th chapter of John, then said Martha unto Jesus, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." What wonderful faith. Jesus saith unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha saith unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Then if you're taking notes, if you're reading your Bible and you want to underscore or bracket, or if you're just simply sitting there quietly and listening to what we have to say, remember verses 25 and 26 of John chapter 11. Jesus saith unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Her answer in verse 27, I trust, will be your answer. "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." I believe we have the crux of the whole subject of how it is possible to overcome death with life. We let you in on the picture there at the beginning of our broadcast today that Jesus purchased a spiritual body, which is his church, by his blood upon the cross. It's a wonderful parallel to me, and we allude to it time and time again, that the same blood that so many people can see by an eye of faith that made the forgiveness of sins possible is the same blood, my friends, that purchased the church, which must be looked upon as a spiritual body of Jesus Christ. A brace of scriptures to sustain this. In the first place, in Ephesians 5 and 25, Paul simply says, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, in a very definite way, that Jesus gave himself for the church. Following it up with a message to the same Ephesian elders who received the Ephesian epistle, this time from Acts 20 and verse 28, where Paul, there speaking at Miletus to these elders, told them in verse 28 of the 20th chapter of Acts to take heed to themselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost had made them overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. This indicates that Jesus did purchase the spiritual body with his blood upon the cross. We emphasize the need of hearing, believing, repenting, confessing your faith in Christ, and being baptized. Baptism is not alone for the remission of sins, but according to Galatians 3:27, it is that which causes us to put on Christ. When we put him on, we put on his spiritual body, or become a part of him spiritually. Now here's the point I'm making. If you and I, as humans upon this who are subject to sin, for Paul said in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but if we are humans upon this earth as we are, and we can obey this gospel, just as the Bible teaches, and we can put on Jesus Christ, that will indicate that the true spiritual birth, being born again, has become a reality. The book of Acts is, of course, chock full of those teachings that tell us how people came from the transitory scenes of sin and how they put on Jesus Christ to become a new creature in the Lord. Yes, old things have passed away, all things have become new. And then to recognize the fact that Jesus, in coming forth from the dead, will never die again. Looking briefly again at verse 25 and 26 to get the true teaching here. When Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, we can see this to be true. He came by the grace of God. He gave his blood by the grace of God. He purchased the church which came to us by the grace of God. And what is our response? It's referred to in the last part of verse 25 as he that believeth in me. May I simply ask you this question? Really, what does it mean to believe in Jesus Christ? We know it can't simply be to call him Lord, Lord. For not everyone that calleth me Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Our belief must be an active belief, a living faith. But it cannot be an active belief, it cannot be a living faith, merely by what we say. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works, or the acts of that faith, there must be action of that faith that is in harmony with the will of God. Everything that we do that truly is based upon God's word can be an action of that faith. So the devils believe and tremble, but they are not saved. But those who obey from their heart that glorious gospel are made free from sin. No one can truly doubt. If you obey from your heart the true gospel of Christ, but what you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I want to restate that do not go halfway in this matter. The devil will let you go to the place of where you might announce with your mouth that you believe Christ is the Son of God. Now, he's been giving you some static, but he never wants you to be baptized into Christ, because he knows that you then will be delivered from the power of darkness or sin. You'll be translated into the kingdom, or you will be added by the Lord to his church, and then the devil will have an all different kind of a battle upon his mind and upon his strategy toward you. The fact is that whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die is an interesting factor, because this indicates, friends, that we're talking about spiritual things. You see, when the spirit leaves the body, it goes back to God who gave it. That spirit, my friends, does not die. And this is the thing that Jesus was talking about. The body will go to the grave, But before that body is entombed in that grave, before it goes back to Mother Earth for the body to be reduced to dust once again, the spirit will have been in the hands of Almighty God. And in that sense, we understand that it's possible for us to escape, we might say, the destiny of death. Again, I would like to restate on the broadcast as we have before, that life is stronger than death. The grace of God is stronger than sin. Eternal life is that which the Lord Jesus Christ can give. Well, Martha made a wonderful statement when she said, "We believe that thou art the Son of God." You see, Jesus Christ, with this statement in mind, is upon what the Christian life truly is built. I'm aware of the fact when I think of how important it is to realize where we are building our spiritual life, of that very prolific passage that's found in Ephesians 2 and 20, where Paul simply reminded the Ephesians where they were and what they should be, when he said, "You are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." Ephesians 2 and 20, be sure and consider it. So the wonderful words that were brought to my attention by this man as we talked about life, as we talked about overcoming death with life, is found tucked away in this wonderful 11th chapter of John. I'm wondering, as you listen to the broadcast today, maybe you're in a hospital room, maybe you're in a nursing home, maybe you're driving along in your car today, maybe you're sitting quietly by your radio with your Bible open, maybe you're taking notes. Take stock at this hour upon the true condition of your soul. You should truly know with the Word of God before you whether you have been born again or not. We trust that you will make a preparation for that which is to come. Make the preparation beyond those things that are physical. Obey from your heart that glorious gospel to be made free from sin, that you might become a part of Jesus. He will never die again. His physical body was nailed to the cross, but his spiritual body still lives and will until Jesus comes again. May God bless us as we obey the truth that can make all men free. It's been good to be with you, and we trust you'll tune in next time to hear another message of life.